Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Our number two of a numbers game back here on a Wednesday morning with Kelly Bidlin from downtown Las Vegas holding it down at our Circus Sportsbook studios. I'm Ben Wilson in for Gil Alexander. One day, go off the rest of the week. We got a fun hour number two coming up, though. Jason Weingarten joins us in 15 minutes talking a little MLB offseason moves. And right now, we go out to our progressive guest line. He is Jonathan Von Tobel, senior NBA analyst, to join us right now. And he was also, Kelly, the host of our, I think this was our first ever, a live YouTube / X stream over the weekend with the college football bracket reveal show. I was very JVT doing the NFL live show at the same time. I was awfully jealous of you and Adam Burke getting to, sip cold, refreshing beverages over at Bar Canada while just kind of like casually talking college football, man. It was, I was envious of your position. I'm sure it was a lot of fun though.
First off, haven't talked to you for a while, buddy. So I'm happy to talk to you. I'm glad you're doing well. Second, it was actually a point in the meeting to emphasize alcohol consumption. I'm not even kidding on this show. So the second they had me, our new boss, Steve, I was like, I'm in, let's do it. You can't find a better guy than me. Oh, and I'll talk college football too.
And the college football secondary. Yes. I don't know. Did you guys follow the Bar Canada code? I mean, Labatt Blue, Molson. I mean, Kelly's a big, crown and Coke guy whenever he's over there. Crown and diet for you, Kelly. Whenever
Thank
you're
you,
over
Ben. Get it right. That's right.
Apologies. I should know Kelly's order at this point. I don't know what
I can see
the,
that.
What you went.
I can see that loose shirt and that cut jaw. All right. From all the way over here. I see it. There's a lot of diets and crowns. No, I did tequila and soda, and I had to slow that one down because I had one, and then I was like halfway through my second. And I was like, I do have to form coherent sentences at some point here, so I had to chill out.
Yeah, it can be a little bit dangerous. Yes, once you start down that path, JVT, want to get into college football playoff talk, NFL mostly, any NBA Cup action though you have for tonight? Anything you have added futures wise since we saw the two games that played out last night?
No, so nothing futures wise. I do have a bet and then a pending wager as well. Depends on what's going to happen with the injury report for Atlanta. But I did go under 223.5 for Golden State Houston. Frankly, last night we were on the Aaron Veasan primetime with Aaron Renning on professional handicapper, and we talked about this thing being playable at under 222. So I'm kind of surprised a little bit that the market pushed this up to the point where we're at right now. These are two pretty solid defensive teams. We know that in the non-Curry minutes, this Warrior squad has really struggled to create some offense, and against one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's going to continue here in this game. We saw last night, that game ended up going over the total, but that was, I think, due to a little bit of an outlier performance from Jalen Suggs, who had half a thumb on one of his hands. But outside of that, I think you're going to get a little bit more of a gritty type of performance here in an elimination game. So I think all of those factors led to me going under the total here. So I went under 223.5 for this matchup. And the other I'll mention really quickly, I mentioned the injury report. I want to see if the Hawks' depth is going to be a little bit more together. Bogdan Bogdanovic is questionable. DeAndre Hunter's probable, but he's on the injury report. Jalen Johnson is on the injury report as well. I need both DeAndre Hunter, Jalen Johnson, and I'd rather have Bogdan Bogdanovic on the floor if I'm going to play the Atlanta Hawks. But, Kelly knows this. I like this Hawks team a lot. I think they'd be live in this spot, but that injury report scared me off of Atlanta here in this spot.
Yeah, I think if anybody's looking at them today, you got to know at least the two you mentioned are going to go. But I think I'd want all three with this Knicks offense coming to town. Hey, Houston Rockets side, did you consider it all, JVT? I got pretty close to it, but they might have me a little bit on tilt after last week in the same matchup. And Ben, what's it been since the bubble, since they finally got a win? So yeah,
since February 2020, 15 yeah. straight.
Stay away from me, but I leaned that way. Do you get close to a side in on that game?
Yeah, for me, it was probably going to be Houston. I mean, Golden State, as we've kind of seen here, has fallen off quite a bit. since that really hot start. And a lot of it has had to do with that offense, right? I mean, and even in that win against Houston, you got it. You didn't even crack 100 when they played a couple of days ago. So a little mini revenge spot there for Houston to kind of get this thing done. Don't really like the way the Golden State's playing. So yeah, I thought it was going to be Houston or nothing here. I like this Warriors team, as you know, and I've got this win total over as my favorite one. And we've kind of tapered off a little bit here. I think they're at a good pace to still get this thing over, but very much kind of started to stretch the collar out a little bit with this win total for Golden State. Would like them to pick it up a bit.
We'll go into some college football, some NFL here as well with Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst. Check him out at MeJVT, daily NBA comms as well. But also, I've been riding the wave here with Carolina Panther money, JVT. I heard you the other day on Lombardi Line. You've been part of this money 5 straight weeks. The Panthers have covered, and now for the first time in 34 games, they will finally break the streak as non-favorites. They will be favorites. Not only are they favorites here against Dallas, but they're taking a lot of money out to 2.5 in the market against Dallas. Said JVT, Mr. Carolina Panther over here. Are you riding the wave here another week on the Panthers?
Yes, they've covered 5 straight. I've bet on them for 6 straight. My run started in that Broncos game that they failed to cover. What were they catching, like 14 or whatever it was, 6 weeks ago. This is the week for sure that I'm either going to pass or, Ben, I'm waiting for 3 if that full 3 comes up here with Dallas. It's been a very good run for Carolina. They have been absolutely fantastic, as you've mentioned, covering these games. They're playing with a little bit more verve, right? They're actually showing some confidence. Bryce Young has looked a lot better by his own standards. But if you just look at this run that they've been on, guys, we're talking about 7-point underdog, 6.5-point underdog, 10.5-point underdog, 6.5-point underdog, 14-point underdog. And yes, right? Like we're talking about like 1-score games with Kansas City, Tampa Bay, and Philly, but it is so much easier to ask a team like this to stay inside of big numbers as opposed to win and win by margin. And that is the thing that really turns me off here. So if it gets to that full 3, I'm going to be in. I'll take that 3 with Dallas. I understand if everybody wants to get, kind of hop off with Dallas after the failed cover. Really an awful beat for you on Monday night. Overshown is out on defense too, so that's a pretty big blow here. But Carolina still has issues on defense, and I just don't know if I'm ready. Look, like you said, I've been Mr. Panther. But I've been Mr. Panther catching points. I don't know if I'm ready to ask Bryce Young to win by margin in a spot like this. So I'll wait for 3. If it doesn't get there, I won't have anything in this game.
Hey, credit to you, man. You've come on here every single week and brought up Carolina Panthers. And yeah, it has become a thing. I know we want to get to some college football with you. Anything else in the NFL this week that really jumped out to you?
Yeah, there's 2 things really quickly in the NFL, both totals. First off, Kansas City and Cleveland were up to like 45 in some spots. The 44.5s are starting to disappear. I'd say that 44.5 is still playable over, but I think that this is going to be a pretty high-scoring affair. We've seen this before. This Kansas City Chiefs secondary has been pretty abysmal. They're rating around 24th in opponent EPA per pass, Kelly. We've seen a lot of different opponents, including Aiden O'Connell, the aforementioned Bryce Young, really go after this secondary and have a lot of success through the air. And I think Jameis Winston can do that while also being Jameis, giving an offense to Kansas City potentially some short fields to work with to get this game over the total. So I think over here, also had another over in Indy and Denver. I thought that this is really playable too. Indy's a very simplistic defense. They are not very good. We have seen that Gus Bradley, I think, is going to be, he's been outcoached, and I think he's going to get outcoached from a schematic standpoint against Denver. And I think that this has a high scoring affair written all over it. And for Denver too, like, don't forget, this Denver team's been good, but we've seen their little defensive blowups as well. Baltimore, Cleveland also had some pretty big scoring affairs against them. And Anthony Richardson, since he's come back into the starting lineup, guys, by PFF standards, he is one of the top 7 quarterbacks in the National Football League. I think he's floating around 6 or something like that. And they've been running him a lot more. This offense has looked way better since they've started to change a little bit with the way they're operating. So I think that's going to be a high scoring game. Also think the Colts can stay inside 4 against Denver.
He is Jonathan Von Tobel with us right now on a numbers game, talking a little NBA, NFL. We also transitioned JVT into the college football, where not only are the playoff lines, have they been out, they've been bet into, but we also have bowl games now out, and we get ready for the portal season where we're going to get just giant swings in the bowl stuff. Anything other bowl games besides the playoff that you think would be good bets now before some of this portal stuff comes out, if there are kind of rumors and directions leaning certain ways?
Well, that's the problem, right? There's like a lot of rumors I could point to and go, hey, I think this might be worth it. So like, for example, humans and I were talking like Boston College moneyline against Nebraska here in the Pinstripe Bowl. There's a lot of rumblings that Dylan Raiola might want to leave Nebraska. and that he wants to go chase a championship potentially somewhere else. We haven't seen anything official, at least I haven't seen anything yet, but we're also starting to see that number move toward Boston College. It's open 4.5. We're down to 2.5 now, and I think that you could get a flip of favorites there, and these are you get some wild swings in some of these bowls, especially if a name like Raiola is not going to be available. And the other, I mean, look, I've had a pretty good read on this team for the most part all year long. Might as well go to the Los Angeles Bowl for UNLV and Cal. Interesting part here is what's going to happen with UNLV, because Odom's gone. Rumblings that Brennan Marion, their offensive coordinator, who has scrubbed all of his UNLV mentions from social media, also not going to be on. Yeah, it's not going to be on the sideline to call plays for this offense. Remember, they have an NFL prospect and Ricky White at wide receiver, who I don't know why he would play in this bowl. But the weird thing is, we saw this get up to 4 guys. We're now down to 2 as Cal's status with its quarterback is in question. Although, because this is bowl season, you got to do everything. He did speak at a banned pep rally yesterday, so maybe that means something. But those are the ones that really stick out at this point outside of the playoff game.
Man, what a breakdown there from JVT, Ben Wilson. Awesome. Come on, where are you else going to get that kind of information?
I mean, come on, no, social media, it's what it's there for.
Well, that was the other one, was the Miami thing with Cam Ward, where people have been betting Miami nonstop. I think the assumption was he would not play the bowl game. Iowa State opens a 1-point favorite. You see this, Kelly? There's literally like I don't know which social media it was on, but it's him. Like, it was like a recorded FaceTime with him and Shedeur Sanders, where Cam Ward's like, yeah, I'm playing. And now Miami's out to 4.5-point favorites. It's like, if it's come to that level, JVT, and that's what I think bothers a lot of bettors about betting bowl games, but that's also what can be brilliant if you're on the right side of it.
Yeah, 100%. Kelly, I agree with you too. I don't know why he would play. And he said that on a call with Shedeur Sanders, who also said he was play. And Shedeur gets the honor of playing in a bowl game against a conference opponent, BYU, which is really weird and an odd setup for a bowl game. So don't really know how you get jazzed up to play a conference foe. But yeah, I think it was a FaceTime call that was streamed on IG Live. I think that's how that went down.
Oh, all right. Okay, I'm trying to keep up with all that. Of the 4 college football playoff games, JVT, we've seen some early moves. Which of the moves here do you disagree with? We've seen lots of money on Penn State, money on Tennessee, and it looks like under money here in Clemson and Texas. Those have been the 3 most notable ones.
Yeah, I don't think I really necessarily disagree with any of them, Ben, to be a kind of a wet blanket. There hasn't been much that I have outside of, we saw some spots go from like 10.5 to 11.5 in the first day for Texas and Clemson, but that's getting bought back. I did go under 47.5 with Tennessee, Ohio State, and took 8 with the Volunteers.
Beautiful. All right. He's Jonathan Von Tobel, senior NBA analyst. You also see him on VSiN Primetime throughout the week. Always good to catch up, man. We'll see you soon.
Yep. Good to talk to you guys. Ben, take it easy.
Absolutely. Will do. And we will be joined by Jason Weingarten when we come back. Talk a little MLB. What are his thoughts now on the futures board with a couple of big moves over the last couple days? We'll do that next here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready to elevate your tailgate game? You have to try Sewell's Barbecue. Born from a backyard cookout and a mason jar of unforgettable flavor, Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, lighting up taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. Ribs and wings to a backyard burger, Sewell's take every bite to the next level. You can order online at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That is SEWELLSBBsauce.com. Big thanks to Jonathan Von Tobel joining us on A Numbers Game, and we were doing some digging, Kelly, during the break, where some of these rumors and some of these player statements that have come out, like the Iowa State Miami game, which is now Miami. I'm seeing consensus length 3.5 in the Pop-Tart Bowl in Orlando, December 28th. So 3.5 scores out there. And none of this stuff has been substantiated, but the rumor out there that Cam Ward, the quarterback for Miami, he said he is going to play, and it may or may not be because his NIL contract dictates that he has to, which would be a really smart move by the school when you're paying these guys now over $1 million to make sure they do play. But, you know, what's the language in that contract? Is it he's got to suit up for, like how many snaps does he have to take? You would doubt that would actually be in the contract. So this has been a 5-point move toward Miami. I almost wonder if the play is, you almost just look at like Miami first quarter, it's -0.5, -108. And you just kind of bank in, all right, probably we're getting a quarter of Cam Ward. Man, who knows after that?
Yeah, I just learned a lot from you during the break about this stuff. I had no idea. First reaction is, why would these kids play when you're talking about Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward? But like you said, I'm pretty genius if these schools have actually worked this into NIL deals. And none of this are like you said during the break. I mean, we're never going to know. Like, we're not going to know exactly what's in those deals. And yeah, I think if it is I mean, if you're going that, thinking that far down the line, I agree with you that I'd only be looking first half, first quarter bets, I guess, because I don't know how you could enforce any type of number of snaps or length of play or something like that in there. I get it if you want to say he's got to suit up, but that's about as best as you can do, I would think.
Right. Well, I'm sure there's got to be injury clause in there, too. Anyway, I know somebody who definitely would love to get into the weeds of NIL contractual legalities is our guy Jason Weingart. If there's anybody, Kelly, who would love that, it's right. Jason, as he joins us right now on our progressive guest line at Spread of PD. Good to see you, man. How you doing, Jason?
Good to see you, too. You know, that is actually something that interests me greatly. You know, especially when you can find edges on stuff like that going into the bowl season and get to think critically about who and how and why guys are going to play or not play. That sounds pretty interesting. I mean, you gotta keep in mind for a lot of guys, this is the last chance to sort of showcase for the NFL what they could do. A guy like Cam Ward, maybe he goes out there, plays a couple drives, gets a night, you know, some stuff on tape. But on the other hand, do we already not have enough tape of Cam Ward to make decisions whether or not we want to draft them? So yeah, it's definitely some interesting stuff. It'll play out during bowl season. Colorado is another one. Is Travis Hunter going to seriously play in the Alamo Bowl? Have we already seen his last college football snap? Potentially.
Sure thing.
Well, I think the other one, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, Ben, it's like, if it's Cam Ward specifically, do we just bet like over his like attempts, completions? Because like he's not running, right? Why would you want to design things for him to run? And he's probably just going to be throwing the ball more. So I don't know. I'm with Jason. There's whenever you get stuff like this, there's angles to attack. You just got to figure out what they are.
Yeah, or do you look at it the other way and you say, well, they have to post a prop line. He's probably not playing the whole game, so let's just smash everything under, and he's probably, you know, he'll probably get pulled. And I mean, maybe that's the way you attack it. At least we have,
I'm just saying, I wouldn't post a prop line. If I was booking it, I'd be like, we don't need to post a prop line on this. This is just, you know, going to aggravate my day.
Right, yeah.
Probably. No, I 100% agree on that sentiment as well. At least we do have one pseudo normal handicap for this week. I feel like we've all been talking about college football playoff this week, Jason. We've kind of forgotten that there is this Army Navy game, and it's two of the best versions of these teams playing against each other we've seen in quite some time here. Latest lines, Army out to 6.5 point favorites, up from an opener of 4, total of 38. Are you part of the line of thinking that just blindly bets these things unders, or do you have a different angle with the way this has played out the last few years?
I have a little bit of a different angle. I don't necessarily play the under every time. It has worked, I think, every year except that one year that the game went to overtime. I'm a big fan of the Army-Navy game. It goes back for me, I don't know, probably at this point, 10 plus years or so. It's been a thing for me and my friends. It started one year I was in Vegas, actually, with some friends from Mississippi, and they were there to party. And it was the weekend of the Army-Navy game. If you recall, there was a year where Army was like a double-digit underdog in this game. Like, I want to say like a 2-touchdown underdog. It was like the biggest spread in the history of the game. It was the same year the Warriors started the NBA season undefeated with Kevin Durant, and it went on through December. I was in Vegas that weekend with a bunch of friends, like I was saying, nice. And everyone was partying, and they weren't sports bettors. So I was like, you got to take Army. It's the best bet all weekend. It's the best bet. You know, they're 2-touchdown underdogs. One of the guys or a couple of the guys did it. And we're sitting there in their suite watching the game. I think it was like a 10 a.m. or 9, you know, it was a real early morning game for whatever reason that year too. But we're watching the game. They have no idea what a spread is or what's going on. So at the end of the game, one of the guys finally mentions me, goes, did we win our bet? You know, like, I think Army lost by less than a touchdown or something. It was a close game. He goes, did we win our bet? And I was like, yeah, we won. It was easy. You were never in danger of losing your money. And he goes, all right, amazing. You know, I just start celebrating. He goes, the United States Army is buying my cocaine this weekend. So that's become a rallying cry between me and my betting friends. Is Army buying the cocaine this weekend? And I do expect Army to be buying the cocaine this weekend. I think they're going to win this game easily. I don't do cocaine. I'm not that much fun of a person. I'm more of a, you know, a relaxed.
Thank you for letting us know, for that disclaimer, Jason. We appreciate it.
But I mean, I do use the phrase frequently, Army is buying the cocaine. Right. So if you hear me say that, that's where it's from. But yeah, so I bet on Army this weekend. That was a roundabout way of telling you I bet on Army, I bet on the spread, I bet on the money line.
If you're going to have a long preamble into why you had a bet, I think that was a great way to do it, Jason.
I love it. I love it. A powdery minus 250 on the money line there. So, yeah. any other college football bets you made, Jason, with some of these openers, college football playoffs or bowl games?
I skipped the bowl openers. I don't have any good inside information on who's playing and who's not. And for betting a lot of these openers, you really have to be pretty clear on who's playing, who's not. I'm pretty excited about the Rams game on Thursday, though. I mean, it's going to go a long way in deciding who makes the playoffs in the NFC West. I don't know if I'm going to go to that game. I might. But yeah, otherwise, I mean, my plays seem to be relatively the same when I look at what I want to bet early in the NFL week. I want to fade the Jets again. I mean, I keep, you know, every week it's like you're getting good value betting against this Jets team. There's no happy ending coming there. The Lions, I'm pretty interested in the Lions this weekend. I did not bet the Lions. I bet some more Jared Goff to win MVP. Again, I think this is a big spot for Goff's MVP chances. If they win this game, you'll see him shoot up the board, you know, significantly. Otherwise, don't see much else I've bet so far. I do have my eye on a couple more NFL sides, but nothing crazy.
At Goff right now, 10-1 here, tied with Lamar Jackson, third short shot. Josh Allen -400 there in the MVP market. But yeah, as much as Allen heavily favored, by no means is this thing a done deal, especially were Detroit to look good and beat Buffalo there at home. As Jason Weingarten joins us here on Numbers Game, I for one, Jason, can't wait until we're handicapping World Baseball Classic together come March here. But in the meantime, with the Juan Soto move going to the Mets, we did see yesterday Max Fried apparently signing a deal with the New York Yankees. Both of those teams now +850, tied for third on the odds board. Anything that has triggered a wager from you early on here in the hot stove season?
Too early for anything exciting in NFL or sorry, MLB betting. I think, you know, obviously the Dodgers gonna kind of be leading the way in all the futures there. Didn't surprise me in the end that Soto picked the Mets. I think, you know, when it was clear that Steve Cohen was gonna write whatever check necessary, nobody was gonna, you know, come close to matching them at that point. But I think the Yankees actually signing Max Fried, if they're rumored to be potentially trying to make a deal for Kyle Tucker, if they do, you know, if they do make that deal with the Astros, I think a Tucker Fried combo probably puts them in a better spot than spending all that money on Juan Soto for 15 or 16 years. It wouldn't surprise me if you find a good price on the Yankees. If the Tucker news breaks and the price doesn't change quickly, I'd probably be jumping on that. That's where my attention is. If the Yankees do get Kyle Tucker, I think it'll soften the blow significantly from losing Juan Soto.
Jason. Yeah, no doubt. It's awfully interesting, too, how Soto slots in second to MVP favorite now that he's in the NL behind one. Shohei Ohtani there, Kelly.
Yeah, Jason, I've been meaning to do this for a couple weeks. Update on the claw machine. Where is it at? How's it doing?
It's back being serviced. I got to go to Dave and Buster's and find a new service tech. It's the one problem is that I can't work on the machine myself, so I have to find somebody else to do it, and, you know, there's
Jason out there scouting service techs.
Claw machine service techs. Gotta Google them or something.
The daily problems, very unique to Jason Weingarten. Always fascinating on that. Jason, good to see you, man. I appreciate you joining us as always.
Good to see you. Nice to see you filling in this week. I'll talk to you guys later.
Perfect. All right. Sounds good. We will come back, refresh a little bit, then talk some Super Bowl exactas on the other side right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In sports betting and trading, probability is a key to success. Discover the power of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horowitz, former floor trader and sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit bubbatrading.com/VSiN and use code VSiN500 to save $500. Do not miss the chance. Gain the edge in your trading game today. That is bubbatrading.com/VSIN. Use promo code VSiN 500. Big thanks to all of our guests today. Now that we've wrapped up with them, Jim Roots, Jonathan Von Tobel, and Jason Weingarten. I think that my biggest takeaway from the segment with Jason Kelly, more than that, besides his story about betting the Army game,
great story.
All those years, great. That was a great story. Biggest takeaway for me, and it's not a shock because I know Jason's kind of the king of these long shot awards futures, but he certainly does not believe MVP is wrapped up in the NFL, which I understand it, especially because this is sort of the week where things could shift, but you feel like this is kind of the last stanza for anybody else to make a push. Like if Josh Allen and the Bills show out this Sunday in Detroit, I mean, you definitely feel like with after this week, we'll have 3 weeks left in the regular season. It's pretty much all wrapped up for good there for Allen. Still very likely to win, even if the Lions win this week. But I thought that was interesting that there's still a case to be made here for a non-Allen MVP winner.
Yeah, we Gil and I both added Lamar Jackson. Was that last week or the week before? So we bet him semi-recently. In a lot of these, it's really just about the number, right, Ben? We talked about this last week. Neither Gil or I really believe Saquon Barkley stands all that much of a chance. So if there is a dip from Josh Allen at any point, I think that Lamar's back live. I think you could make the case for Jared Goff. I get that as well. I feel like I've heard a couple people bring up Mahomes even at this long number now, still being thinking that he's still alive in this as well. Be interesting to see how this plays out because I don't think I was expecting to see a game last week where the Bills lose and his odds get shorter, right? So you're right. We're running out of runway here. Josh Allen looking more and more like he might be close to taking this home. Ben, I'm calling an audible real quick because I don't know why the stories fascinated me so much. Why do these athletes keep getting their homes broken into? Like, do burglars just figure out that these guys go on the road? Like, I don't get the story with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, it's right. It's like, 2024, and we're finally understanding that athletes have road games. Yeah, I have no idea. It does not. And you would also think that of all people, the athletes would have the best, most state-of-the-art home monitoring systems for security. Like you would just assume if there's like you could if you really wanted to do your research, you could find other people. Like you could go to like low level college coaches when their teams are on the road, and you would do that. I mean, I get why, because you're thinking there's more valuable stuff in their.
Maybe we should
stop
giving them ideas. If they just figured out that these guys play road games, let's stop giving them other ideas.
some like assistant coach at Kennesaw State's like, stop, guys, yeah, stop. I have a lot of nice stuff in my my suburban Atlanta house. Just stop right now. Anyway, as far as we were talking some NFL awards here earlier with Jason Weingarten. Josh Allen, by the way, -400 on the MVP front, still heavily favored. We were doing a little exercise though, and as much as these might. You sort of alluded to, Kelly, you think your NFL, your Super Bowl exactas might be a little bit boring. I do think it is an interesting exercise, though. If you wanted to go down this path, like Gil is very into this. I'm personally not a huge, like it's not like my cup of tea, for instance, but you can find some big long shot numbers and then potentially have the ability to play off of those once we get into the postseason. How would you attack right now if we were doing the exercise, our three favorite Super Bowl exactas? I have a very distinct strategy. I'm curious, though, because I don't know what your three are, how it would match up to mine.
Yeah, I love betting these, in different sports. I think usually where you're going to find the most value on them is when you're able to isolate, kind of one team in one conference and then go from there. If you really like one team, you're able to load up a little bit more. So I'm kind of all over the place with mine right now. I think that the Bills are kind of my team right now. So I think they're the team that I would be looking to isolate a little bit more. So I did two. I mean, Lions, Bills over Lions right now, and then Bills over Packers. I think Packers would be one of the teams that maybe is a further back in the NFC that I think still is live. I just think the Packers ceiling is so high. I think they've got a lower floor than some of these other teams that they are competing with, but I think that ceiling's so high that if they're able to run pretty pure, pretty hot for a few weeks in a row, I wouldn't be shocked to see them in there. But that's what I wrote down because I wanted to talk about it, but man, it feels like 25-1. You should be getting a little bit longer than that when we're not talking about the top couple teams in either conference, record-wise with those two. Then Lions over Texans, that was the other one I wanted to bring up. I do think Lions...
Wow,
if we're looking at NFC, Lions are still kind of the team I believe the most in. Eagles have come on strong here. I do think we've gotten a little bit over our skis with the Eagles. I think we saw that play out last week a little bit. We've gotten into a little bit of the overrated territory with them, in my opinion. I think the Lions, if they're able to get some of these pieces back here, are still clearly the team to beat in the NFC. Texans, I wanted to throw in there. Another one, though, I think you should be getting longer than 25-1. Was a little shop around with all these, though. I was just looking at DraftKings for mine to use for this segment. But Texans, man, this is a team I believed in preseason big time. Look, the belief has gone down as the year has played out. Offensive line issues, some of the defensive issues that they've had at times. C.J. Stroud just not looking like the same quarterback that we saw a season ago. I think all of those things are true and have been an issue for Houston. But could we see things click here in the final weeks of the season and them look really good heading into the playoffs and to start the playoffs? It would not shock me at all. So I wanted to make sure to note that one just in case it does happen. It wouldn't surprise me if the Texans or Packers kind of came from further back in the pack.
Yeah, I think the Texans' path you're sort of hoping for, too, is that Baltimore finds a way to take this division. And yeah, that's kind of what leads me into my thoughts here. Pittsburgh right now, minus 220 to win the AFC North. Two-game lead on Baltimore. They've won the head-to-head so far here and are 7-2 in conference play. Baltimore 5-4. So even if Pittsburgh loses to Philadelphia, underdog this week, Baltimore biggest favorite on the board this week against the Giants, even if those two results happen, Pittsburgh would still be in a pretty good position to get that three seed. And that's why, for me, if that's the case, Baltimore likely ends up with the five seed. And so I started mine kind of like thinking about this from the AFC perspective, where the two seeds I want, I either want to be the five seed, since you're getting the weakest division winner, which I, as much as what you say could happen with Houston, I'm still on the camp of, I believe Houston is going to be the most single fraudulent team we have in the postseason. I'm in both conferences. I'm just not a believer whatsoever. Still getting a lot of credit for the run last year. And I just don't believe in the pieces they have now that they've lost so much on offense with how bad the offensive line has consistently been, that that'll be enough against any sort of good defense. So Baltimore, if you're talking about the five seed, you would be road favorites in Houston round one. And then you would get this Kansas City team that, as we have discussed, at end for several weeks now, has been getting by, even though the statistics do not show a team that should be this good with only one loss. And Baltimore would absolutely be a bet on in that sort of situation. So I started here. I went just one of these. I have Ravens over Lions at 18-1. I do like the Lions to come out of the NFC as of right now. They're my highest power rated team, but I did kind of split the difference. I went one Lions direct matchup winning, one AFC team winning here. So five seed would be a great position. I just went Ravens over Lions since you got a little more bang for your buck. It was 16-1 Lions over Ravens, 18-1 Ravens over Lions, and then Lions over Bills for a lot of the same reasons you discussed, Kelly. Bill, the two seed also will be a very good position to be in. For me, it's two seed or five seed, the two seeds you want right now. If you're the two, you're going to likely get either most likely Denver in a home playoff game round one with rookie Bo Nix. Round two, you get the winner of Pittsburgh and the LA Chargers, both of whom have overachieved expectations this year. That's why I'd be looking at having the Bills and Ravens in those exact matchups opposite the Lions. And so to the third one, like, would it really shock us, Kelly, if not to say if all hell breaks loose, but it's sort of like a hedge against all this, if the Eagles and Chiefs find a way to get to the Super Bowl? Yeah. Like, if these Detroit injuries continue to pile up and it becomes like a bottom five, you know, D-line linebacker core trying to defend Philadelphia, and if they kind of get rid of all this off the field stuff that continues to plague them, and it's happening again with some of these AJ Brown comments we've seen this week. But if Philadelphia still clearly has the talent to go toe to toe with Detroit in an NFC title game sort of spot here, mm-hmm. and it's also one of those things, you have both of those teams kind of in pocket against the other three that you feel like are most likely to actually get there. And you're getting long odds on that. It's sort of like a natural hedge, even if it's not, you know, super cut and dry and all that simple. But that's why I included Eagles over Chiefs there at 20-1.
Yeah, it is. Look, I think the AFC is what I guess AFC is probably a little bit more open right now. It's tough to sit here. I know I threw the Packers in there. I do think they have a high ceiling that could get them there. But outside of Green Bay, Philly, Detroit, it's really hard for me to believe in any of these teams making the Super Bowl. I don't know how you feel, but that's kind of where I'm at in the NFC.
No, I agree. For me on Jordan Love, as much as he has taken another solid step forward, he needs one more year of seasoning before I feel totally confident in him in a big game. And it's not because there's not a high ceiling. It's clearly there. But
he's a bit of a gunslinger.
It's the consistency drive to drive. You see him go through ebbs and flows in game. That when you're betting on him, you have stretches in these games that leaves you a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
And against a really, really good defense. And that's why the Packers got so much money against Detroit, because of all the Detroit deficiencies. But against a legit defense on the road in, say, an NFC title game scenario, I still have my doubts, at least for this year, as much as that pains me to say, on the Green Bay front. We'll come back, recap all of our best bets as we wrap up this edition of A Numbers Game right after this.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
As we wrap up this Wednesday edition of A Numbers Game, be sure to stay tuned to VSiN after we're done. Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Patrick Maher at noon Eastern, then stick around for Prop Points with John Hansen at 2 p.m., followed by Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Really fun show today, Kelly, and it's made even more fun by the fact that you somehow produced, I don't know where this was, but it is the Christmas season, but Kelly rocking the top hat. Let's go.
Head over to VSiN.com right now. We got a lot of great write-ups on the NBA Cup, college football playoffs, everything. It was just sitting in the corner, Ben. I don't know how nobody else wears this for anything. I think Brian Ortega on Money Moves does a fun segment where they pick something out of the hat, I believe. I think there's a couple shows that utilize it, but I don't know if anybody wears it. I had to flip the logo. Darnell, our great audio op, did rightfully point out that it was upside down, so... Good work back there, crew.
There's all sorts of props that are just lying around that circus studio.
More importantly, I got a text message from Parles in Charge yesterday, one Jeff Parles, and I forgot to respond. I need my props back from the prop closet at the South Point. There's so many money guns and things still left over in there, Ben.
I can imagine. I remember when that money gun first made its debut, and just the... we had no idea that it would actually take like 15 minutes to clean up all the money. And there was at least one segment of just money just strewn across the desk, and people were really confused. But it was a great time.
Those were a lot of fun until you have to clean it up. Yeah.
And then more shows would do it, and then they wouldn't know, and then they would get the money flying all over the place. And
there's every VSiN studio. There's some over here right now. There's fake cash lying around in any VSiN studio at any time. I try to fake tip people all the time. Nobody gets it. Dave Ross walks out every day. I'm like, here's $100. Good job today.
We've had some dangerous props. One that always sticks out to me is when the World Cup was going on. This was 2 years ago, and it was always the Team Mexico watch parties at Circa. And I think it was like
I can't
a
nod
Dutch...
with this hat on. People make fun of me for nodding on the air too much. That looks very aggressive now with the hat.
That embellishes the nodding.
Yeah.
Now I want to say it was like a Dutch flag that somehow ended up in our studio. I think it was our producer, Dan Miller, started like he was like waving the flag at. And it was all these Team Mexico fans like right behind us. And he starts like aggressively. He finds a flag. He starts aggressively waving him at them. I'm like, Dan, what are you doing? You want them to charge at me? Like I'm about to go on the air. I was about to do a Lombardi line. I'm like, why is there a Dutch flag in our studio? B, why are you aggressively waving it at maybe possibly inebriated, extremely passionate Team Mexico fans? What are you doing?
I agree with you. Not a bright move. Not a bright move. No, possibly course, problematic.
Fortunately, they were more focused on the action in front of the screen. They did not. Charge into the studio that day. We ready for some best bets here to
Let's
wrap up the
it,
show.
Man.
They're brought to you as always
ready.
By G Bank, official bank of VSiN. And I started the week with an early bet here in the college football playoff to take Clemson, Texas under 52. If you missed that was from a couple days ago. I'm still seeing 51.5s out there as some under money comes into the market for today. I'm going to do it, Kelly. I've been thinking about this all show. Why not? Rockets money line -125. And I continued, I was looking back at what some of these odds were from previous matchups. We've had two meetings already this year. Golden State has won both of them, each by 6 points over Houston. Rockets were laying 5 back on November 2nd when these two teams met. Now, granted, that was no Steph Curry, but Houston was getting a lot of market support there. They were similarly priced favorites in the last meeting, lost both of those when the Warriors were down Steph Curry. But you think about where the two teams are trending. Houston has been the best defense in the NBA over the last 15 plus games. Ime Udoka has done a tremendous job coaching up that unit. Now they've got Jalen Green back. I believe more healthy. He had that eye injury last week, was banged up for a couple games. And even though he's tried to play through it, I'd like that your leading scorer is now back more closer to 100%. And you're in this awesome home revenge angle against a Golden State team that has had your number. 0 wins since COVID started, 15 straight wins for the Golden State Warriors in this matchup against Houston. When you get a great defense against an offense that has been masked a little bit by superhuman late game performance, mostly by Steph Curry, it's one of those things that can't last forever through the long term. Golden State has been a bottom five offense for a large stretch of these last 10 to 15 games. and that we've seen now, especially post DeAnthony Melton torn ACL, guys like Buddy Hield being relied on more. His numbers have gone way, way down, his shooting numbers in particular. So give me the Rockets. This is finally the time where they snap the streak and advance to the NBA Cup semifinals.
I like it, Ben. I like it. Definitely lean that way for me as well. No bet. Still recovering from the when these two teams faced last week. So I'm going to stay away, I think, from the side. But would definitely lean Houston's way. You're talking about Houston 9-3 over their last 12 straight up and ATS at home. So they have played well at home as well. You're talking about them getting some pieces back. Possibly Tari Eason should be back in the lineup tonight. Houston 6-4 over their last 10 plus 5.4 net rating outside of garbage time minutes. Meanwhile, Golden State Warriors 4-7 over that same time, about 6 points difference in net rating of what you're seeing. And the we talked about this earlier in the show, offensively over that time span, Golden State Warriors 28th in offense, 5th in defense, Houston 16th in offense, 4th in defense in the NBA. It led me to an underplay on that game tonight. I'm under 222. I believe you said during the break, we're finally getting some under money in the market.
We got a wave back down to 221.5. A lot of places, all those 222.5s that were out there, it's peaked at 223. Those have all been wiped out. We're down to a flat 222 most places. Yeah, this peaked 223.5 actually early this morning. Yeah. And we are all the way back down here to 222. Would think that continues as the day goes on.
I would think so, too. We've talked about this a couple times, me, JVT, and Zach, just over text message, but these numbers in the NBA, especially on these kind of standalone games, have been wild movements this year. Some of the movement you see early swings back the other way overnight, and then on game day, you're getting another move. So I'm not really shocked by it, but the whole season has been pretty wild from that perspective. So Golden State, it took some over money, went out overnight. Now it's coming back in 222. That's where I bet it at yesterday. So I am under there. JVT did grab 223.5, I believe. So that's where he's at in the NBA game. And then a couple other bets for him, a couple in the NFL. I'll hit these for JVT. Ben, Chiefs, Browns over 45. And Colts Broncos over 44 for him. And then two in college football already in the college football playoff. Tennessee catching the points. He got 8. And then Tennessee, Ohio State under 47. Reminder, VSiN.com to get all of these plays.
That's awesome. That is, and the subtle nod, which is completely embellished there. Jim Root joined us also today. IU Indy plus 15.5. Going Jaguars over the Mastodons over IPFW. Fresno State BYU over 156.5 in California Baptist, the Lancers plus 15 over San Diego State. Very solid as always, appearance from Jim Root on the show. And I believe Jason Weingarten, he said Jared Goff 10-1 MVP. Yep. He is adding that as well, along with the Jaguars catching 3 in the hook against the New York Jets to play. I fully endorse on that as far as best bets. A reminder, as always, these best bets are brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. VSiN recommends every better make the GBank Visa Signature Card part of their betting toolbox. Save up to 3-5% on cash advance fees, earn cashback rewards on eligible betting transactions, and for limited time, you'll get a $250 bonus when you open your account and spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. Take advantage of the $250 bonus for a limited time from our friends at GBank, the official bank of VSiN, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. I'm fascinated, and I'm glad that you brought up this whole line movement thing, the way the season has gone on in the NBA, because it feels in some instances different to me than in years past, where like I don't remember a season where so consistently double-digit totals moves. I mean, and it's not just been injury-based. Like I there was an under I got lucky on. I bet an under in a Rocket. I forget the Rockets matchup, but Rockets, I think it was a Rockets Bulls game that got bet like 10.5 points to the under. Bet 10.5 points to the over. I had under on the opener, so I had a terrible bet. It somehow won, very lucky. But I'm like, there was no significant injury news there, Kelly. It's like, what has gone on in some of these, especially as you mentioned, standalone games where it's like the steam has taken on a life of its own in some of these NBA spots this year.
Yeah, well, I think it's, I think in years past, it's you're not really you're not surprised to see one side or one total, right, kind of pick up some steam and it just goes that way. Maybe it comes back a little bit, but it's usually going, generally moving in one direction. And some of these, like we talked about, especially with these standalone NBA Cup games, it's been goes one way, comes back the other, then going back. So it's been just wild movement on both sides for some of these games. And it really has been. It's been a season trend. I mean, it's something I've noticed since opening day, and it's been something you just kind of got to get used to at this point. This is where I think you're always trying to get the best of the number, but make sure you have in mind what number you are comfortable betting something up to, out to, you know, totals or sides. I think that's something very important.
100%. I find myself watching you give that breakdown, Kelly. These last 10 minutes, I've
trying to be serious
more
with this hat on.
No, I feel like I've taken you more seriously with the hat on. It's like you are the de facto voice of reason now that you've got the hat.
I mean, for people that make fun of my nodding, I should have to wear this every day because it's kind of like the posture thing with books on your head balancing, right? Like I can't nod too much.
It's like a shock collar.
Yeah, it's like a shock collar. Yeah. See, like I just tried to do it.
Shock collar. That's great. Big thanks to everybody behind the scenes for helping us out today. Always great work from our crew at our Circus Sportsbook Studios as we wrap things up. For Kelly Bidlin, great to be with you, man. This was a lot of fun the last 3 days.
It was awesome. Great having you, Ben. Scott Seidenberg tomorrow.
Yep, let's do it. For Kelly, I'm Ben Wilson. Stay tuned to VSiN. So much more still to come.